Welcome back to another episode of The Textual Talk. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Rebecca Skeet, the COO of Black Girls Hack and a dynamic force in the cybersecurity world. From starting her career in the mailroom to becoming a top cybersecurity analyst, Rebecca has a story that's both inspiring and insightful. In this episode, we'll dive into Rebecca's fascinating journey, her early days with the Texas Rangers, to her rise in the cybersecurity field. We explore how Rebecca transitioned from management to an individual contributor role, her experiences with threat management and incident response, and the importance of mentorship and early exposure to cybersecurity. Rebecca will also share invaluable advice on how to leverage learning experiences for organizational benefit, the importance of a strong support system, and the mission of Black Girls Hack to increase diversity in cybersecurity. Plus, we get the lowdown on the upcoming SquadCon conference in Las Vegas and how you can attend. Whether you're a budding cybersecurity enthusiast or a seasoned professional, this episode is packed with actionable insights and inspiring stories. So grab your headphones and let's dive into the world of cybersecurity with Rebecca Skeet on this episode of The Textual Talk. Welcome back to The Textual Talk podcast. I'm your host, HD, and we got another lovely guest for you guys today. Her name is Rebecca, and she is the COO. The COO of Black Girls Hack. But before we get into the episode, you guys know what to do. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please follow the podcast, leave us a comment. And if you're on YouTube, like button, hit the bell icon to be notified of everything. We need y'all help. We got to run them numbers up this year. But it's been a while since I've been in person, so I'm happy. Had to get up early. Had a couple of detours, but, you know, we made it. So, Rebecca, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Agreed with the waking up early. I know you gave me an option, and I apologize for making the earlier thing, but we're here.
No, yeah, you good. I mean, for me, that's the only reason, like, I was up a little later. Mm-hmm. The kids went to sleep a little later, and then, I watched Power last night, and then I went to sleep. I said, I should be good. Yeah. I typically get up, like, around that time every day. Yeah. It was like, my body's like, nah, I want to go to sleep a little longer. But it was cool.
Yeah, I stayed up late watching Love on the Spectrum. Have you seen that? Mm-mm. It's about different folks who are on the spectrum, various levels of, like, autism and different things. And they're trying to find love. And it's so pure and good. Anyway, it brings me joy. It's a good way to end the day.
Yeah, I'll probably try that out. My oldest, she's on the spectrum. So
awesome.
Definitely want to check that out. But... So I looked through your background, and how long have you been, like, in the industry?
So since 2017, dibbling and dabbling and thankfully grown since then. So yeah, it's been a couple years. Long enough for me to not be a complete neophyte, little baby, but short enough that I'm not full of myself yet. Okay. I still know I have a lot to learn.
Cool. So for the watchers and the listeners, could you go ahead and just introduce yourself and do kind of like a quick about me.
Sure. And then I get to cut to the camera and look at him. Hi. So my name is Rebecca Skeet. Most of the members of Black Girls Hack call me Beck. That's easier. Just like Henri, everybody calls you HD, you know, Beck. You can feel free to say that. I'll respond to just about anything except disrespect. I say that a lot, but I make sure I say it often so people, you know, recognize. So as he mentioned, I am the COO for Black Girls Hack. Still brings me so much joy and pleasure to say that. One, because COO, that's cool. And then also because Black Girls Hack is awesome. It is I don't know if you want me to go into Black Girls Hack specifically or still.
You can. We'll touch on it some more later, but you definitely can go into it.
Okay. So I'll just give the overview of that. Black Girls Hack is a nonprofit dedicated our time to increasing diversity in cybersecurity. We know there's plenty of opportunities out there, and we want to make sure that the access to said opportunities are equitable. And then we want to lower as many barriers to entry as possible. And sometimes that's cost related. People want to either go to school or get a certification. Well, there are some things that are free. So in that regard, we provide resources to point you to those free things. And then for the things that are cost, we try to leverage our collective power to lower that cost for you. So that's not a barrier for you to get started. And then we try to do that in an inclusive environment. I think so many times people will be like, okay, we'll tolerate your presence. You're here. Whereas we are excited for your presence. It's, hey, you're here. We're happy that you're here. We want you to be supported. We want you to succeed. And that makes me happy for myself and for our organization that's something that all of our leadership and our members support and commit to, making sure that everyone does well. You know, we want to see everybody shine.
Great. So I was briefly looking over your experience again. Mm-hmm. And I guess I want to talk about a little bit about that, because it seemed like you like worked at like a lot of different places.
Yeah.
Right. So I know you said you've been in cyber since 2017. Were you doing anything before 2017?
Yes. So I've done a lot, but it's interesting. So prior to my current role with Black Girls Hack, I volunteer. And while it feels like a day job, I have a primary day job. I'll put it that way. And prior to working with them, I worked for the Texas Rangers Baseball Club for about 13 years. So I've done different things while there, but with the same company. It was like, hey, you know what? I didn't coin the term, but I thought it applied well to my career of being a utility player of what do you need? I'm available and excited to learn how to do it. And that has provided me with a lot of opportunities. And so I heard one time, Jenny Clark, I think is her name. And she went to interview for something and someone was like, oh, it looks like you jumped around a lot. And they kind of had a negative connotation with it. And she said, well, I've had the courage and the aptitude to go where the opportunities took me. And I think sometimes and that's my paraphrasing of what she said, but when you think of it that way of, you know, sometimes people have opportunities, but they're not prepared for them or they don't have the skills for them. And so they don't take them. And so they stay in the same place. That's not always the case. But when you look at it hey, every time an opportunity has arisen or presented itself, I was prepared and skilled to take advantage of that. So,
yeah, I agree. I think it's good. Like early on in your career, like all those different skills that you've gained from multiple jobs really start shining later on in your career.
Yeah.
And that's why like the show is pretty much the premise is built on a lot of people having different type of pivots into cybersecurity, because before cyber was like a thing, mostly everybody would think like they came straight from computer science and they've been coding since they was like 7 and doing all this other stuff. But when you actually talk to real people, you realize like people did different things.
Yeah.
They brought different skill sets and concepts to cyber that's actually been very beneficial for teams, especially when it comes to diversity. When we talk about diversity, we're not only talking about like race, skin color, whatever. We're talking about background.
Yep.
Like, what do you come from doing?
Experience, everything. And all of those things, it benefits me in my career and it benefits me as a person. I feel like I have a broader excuse me, I get choked up when I think I'm joking. It gives me a broader view of the world. I think it makes me a better person, a better friend. I'm more empathetic just because I have a better understanding of what other people go through. And so that informs how I interact with them. And by and part, it then makes more people willing to interact with me because they know that I will consider them. And again, that's been beneficial personally and professionally.
Yeah, I did have a little joke. So she was like with the Texas Rangers, like, mm-hmm. you didn't go over there to Jerry World to go work with the Dallas Cowboys?
No. I'm from New York. Well, I respect the Cowboys.
I saw you from New York. Oh, yeah. We kind of glossed over there. How did you go from being in New York to being out here for this long?
So the decision was made on my behalf because my family moved from New York to Texas. And at the time I was, I went kicking and screaming because it sounds silly. I acknowledge that. It sounds silly to say now. And I'm not that old. But when we moved, my frame of reference for Texas was like Old Yeller. And I was like, the heck, are we going to live on a ranch? Do they have paved roads? Which is such an asinine thing to say now. But and I didn't even think about the fact that Dallas existed, the TV show. But I didn't watch that. I didn't really watch TV growing up. So anyway, that was my frame of reference. And then we got here. I was like, oh, okay. This might not be that bad. And social media and everything else. So before then. But yeah, we moved as a family and the rest is history. Went to college here as well and stayed.
Okay. Yeah, that's funny. Like, I'm not a native Texan. I'm from next door, from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. But
okay, so your friend name being French makes sense. Okay, cool.
Yes, but for a lot of people, like when they view like the South, that's what they think. Like they just think everybody around here like on and horses or cowboys and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, you'll very much see it's like a slowed down version of like where you're from, which like actually could be a benefit. You actually can. I mean, it's not unless you stay down here, everything's not walkable. But hey, if you are walking, it's not like you're finna be shoulder to shoulder. You're not underground in the subway.
Yeah. Okay. So does that mean then that your image or perception of people from New York, we're all in the subway, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
No. So I got a chance to visit New York last year. Mm-hmm. And I didn't stay long. Right. But to me, I mean, it was cool. I really don't see how people live with like the subway part, mm-hmm. even though it's a good way to get around. Mm-hmm. I don't really see it like the way it is. It's, I don't know. It is different. It would be different for me. But if you're used to it, it's not a thing for you.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it wasn't bad. But granted, when we were there, most everybody might have been at work. So,
yeah,
I was expecting it to be busier out walking around. And mm-hmm. it wasn't like as busy then. But I was like, it's probably because everybody's like working. Because I was like, shoot, the strip be busier than this when I'm in Vegas. So yeah. I was like, that's what I was kind of comparing it to. Which,
what's funny is that there's parallels with what you just said in cybersecurity, like, or technology or anything. Familiarity mm-hmm. is a lot to it. Just because someone can go in there and be completely lost. And then there's someone else who grew up that this is what they know. They don't know anything else. So that's why some things are secondhand or second nature to them. And so I think sometimes people who are walking into it for the first time can be intimidated of, oh, well, I don't know this. What's an L? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? And they freak out. And then there are other people who say, hey, I haven't been familiar with this, but I'm going to get familiar. I'm going to look at a map. I'm going to, pay attention. I'm going to ask questions. And I think that can be done in the career as well.
Yeah. I also say I'm biased because I am a millennial. Mm-hmm. But I tend to think that millennials probably do the best at adapting in the workplace, only because like in our lifetime went from like A-tracks, tape players, VHSs, DVDs, to streaming, all these different things that changed within like childhood to becoming an adult mm-hmm. to where we always had to kind of be different versus the Gen Zers and whatever they are, Gen Alpha now, like pretty much phone and everything. They don't know any time before this digital age. Mm-hmm. We still kind of like, we've been at like grandparents, I swear they got the rotary phone and like this, they have it.
Yeah.
So I feel like we can always adapt and that's like a good strength of ours. Mm-hmm. Like, you just sit me down, I didn't know how to use this at first, but I can learn it.
Yeah.
So that I agree with you on that sentiment. So when it came for you to finally, like, how did it come about pivoting to your first cybersecurity role?
So I started IT cyber about the same time.
Okay.
This wasn't necessarily the goal. I was going to go into politics. I was going to be a lawyer, fight for the little person, which in and of itself is kind of condescending. Who among us are little? We're all people. But the voice that has been muted or,
the voice of the voiceless.
Right. And even then, because I feel like people have voices. It's just like right now with the microphone, I'm speaking. If I push the mic away, I'm still speaking. You just can't hear it. My voice isn't being amplified. And so what I wanted to do is be the mic. I wanted to acknowledge the fact that people have things to say, people have things to contribute, but people don't always give them the opportunity to do so. Or sometimes we're speaking in a language that the people that we're trying to communicate with don't understand. So at the very least, I either want to be a microphone or a translator. But the main goal in that either way is to make sure that what is desired to be communicated is done successfully. Because sometimes people will speak and they'll hear, but then they won't act. And that's the whole, I'm not speaking to you just for you to hear my words. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Anyway, I digress. Like I said, I'd been with the Rangers for some years, started it as a seasonal employee, was working in the parking lot, taking tickets.
So you had a real come up story.
Sir, when they say started from the bottom, now we're here, like legit, because then when I went to the mailroom, it legitimately was at the bottom, like it was in the parking garage. Like I said, so first started seasonal, did that for a couple years. Rangers went to the World Series in 2010, 2011. And I was like, man, this is kind of awesome. I want to be full time here. What would that look like? What role could I successfully complete? Because that's the other thing. I'm not one of those people who just get in to fit in. I want to go where I can be not only successful, but impactful. I want my presence to be felt like, dang, okay, Rebecca was here, And not in a vain way, but in a, I want what I do to matter. So anyway, just kind of was like, okay, how do I pivot from being seasonal to being full time? And so I looked to see what internships were open and things of that nature. I was like, I don't mind earning my stripes, whatever. Applied for some of them, didn't get it. I was like, dang, that's disrespectful. And especially for the fact that so many people were telling me, oh, Rebecca, you're this, you're that, you know, you're so capable. And then, but the opportunities weren't falling in line with the expectation of myself, of others, or whatever. So I was like, okay, fine. I don't mind doing what I got to do to whatever. Then I saw that there was a mailroom job open part-time. And I was like, okay. Then I thought of like all the little corporate movies and things that I've seen.
That's what I've been thinking about every time you saw my son doing the mail. I was like, yeah. He was living the movie.
With the little push cart and everything, like, hi, Bill, Bob. And it actually worked out that way. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to use this opportunity to talk to everybody in each department, see what it is that they do, see if I can get an understanding and where I would be, again, the most impactful, the most helpful. And I thought I was going to go into like community outreach or relations or something, because that was in line with the work that I wanted to do on the political side. But it didn't exactly work out that way. I still, you know, would volunteer, do some different things here and there, but the full-time position never presented itself. Well, the manager at the time of the IT department, we had become, you know, sociable, I would say friends, and talked about different things. And then the position for coordinator for IT customer service opened up. And he was like, hey, I think you should apply for this. You'd be a good fit. And I was like, are you sure? Like, I'm smart. Yeah, I can, you know, but I don't necessarily have that. Just like how you said, people think that I've been, you know, tinkering with computers and coding and all of the things. And I'm like, no, the extent of my technological capability is that I'm the person that like my mom would ask, how do I do X, Y, Z? But then that's it. And he was like, that's okay. You're smart enough to pick things up. Primarily, it's a customer service role and you have that, and everything else can be taught. And so he was like, if you're, you know, willing to do that, I think you'd be good. And so then I applied, interviewed with the VP as well. And thankfully, all that aligned and they gave me the job. And so it was mainly, you know, answering the phones, this and the other, and it wasn't exactly help desk. Like it was, but it kind of wasn't. It was more exactly as they said, customer service, front line of answering phones and then routing it to other folks. But then since I had access to, the ticketing system, I would ask like, hey, whenever y'all solve something, can you, you know, make sure your notes are in there? I mean, that's already whatever, but make sure it's as detailed as possible, because then that was how I learned and was like, okay, well, I'm starting to see that this happens at least two or three times a week. I can do this. I see what it is. I see the solution. And then thankfully the people I worked with were cool enough that I'd be like, hey, I think I can handle it this time. Can I go? And they're like, yeah, okay. And so then it just kept going from there. And thankfully in this situation, curiosity didn't kill the cat. It fed it. and it fed my curiosity. The more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. And then we went to we didn't have a dedicated cybersecurity role. We had cybersecurity functions, you know, but it was kind of part of everything that the manager at that time was doing. And we went to an event. MLB hosts a cybersecurity focused summit around the same time as Hacker Summer Camp. And I met the security analyst for the Boston Red Sox. And she was so freaking cool, like cool as a person, cool as the like the job she does. And I was just like, I want to be her. Like, cool. OK. And so I asked my boss, I was like, hey, are we going to do a role like this? Because I think it's good. And at that point, I had started listening to podcasts and things like that. And so I kind of had more interest in cybersecurity focused roles. And he was like, yeah, no, I think we have the opportunity to build out and then we'll eventually do that. And I said, okay, is that something that I can train into? I would like to now express my interest. This is something I want to do. So let me know if there's anything that we need to do as a company, things I need to do on my own to show that I'm ready for that. And he was like, okay. And again, I consumed everything that was free first, did all, you know, Cybrary at the time and Pluralsight. And then I went on the hunt for people like this person that I saw in that role that I could emulate of, I know I'm going to be myself, but as I'm starting out, who can I attempt to be like people playing basketball? Everybody want to be like Mike. Obviously you're not going to be Michael Jordan. That again is aging myself, whatever. but it's a good start, right? Like, okay, he did this, that, and the other. Okay. Mamba mentality. Okay. He did this, that, and the other. So it gives you a good foundation, good groundwork.
So that's what I was looking
at. Exactly. And so that's what I found. Awesome organizations, Women's Cyber Jitsu, Mary Galloway. And then I saw Black Girls Hack, Tanisha Martin. And so I was like, all right, bet. These are my people. These are who I'm going to try to get to know. And I connected with Tanisha, and she kind of like unintentionally or unknowingly kind of became my mentor of like, okay, boom, I'm going to do this, this, that, and the other. And that's how I got signed up with Black Girls Hack. And so that was cool too, because there were so many people in the group who were like, hey, I've had X amount of years. I'm trying to transition into cybersecurity. I heard this is the place to be. And I'm willing to do what I need to do to get there. And so somebody was like, hey, I found this cert. You could do this. Oh, great. And, oh, I'm doing this. And being around that community where everybody was hyping each other up. Hey, I just finished this study thing. And like seemingly small things, like it wasn't even the big, oh, I just got my security plus, which was good because some people were doing those things as well. But even the, I finished a micro learning course or whatever, and encouraging the small steps as people got to the big steps. Anyway, that further encouraged me, eventually became junior cybersecurity analyst. They created the role with the Rangers, worked that for a bit. Then they dropped the junior, then I was cybersecurity analyst. Did that for a bit. And then when my boss, who was the manager, got promoted to director, and then he left for another opportunity. And then I became the manager of the IT department. And I rocked that for a little bit until I then transitioned to the company I'm at now as an information security analyst. And so title-wise, it seems like it was a step down instead of a lateral, because I went from a manager, a people manager, and over a department to InfoSec analyst. But it was more in line with, as Tanisha would say, my world domination plan. So that was a very long-winded response. No,
man, you said so much. And I've seen so many different things. It was like one of the big things you were talking about, like you wanted to go somewhere and work where your impact mattered. That reminded me of when I used to, pretty much Disney used to be like a client of ours, one of my past companies. Mm-hmm. And we were their SOC. Mm-hmm. And so one of the first weeks or whatever, when we were there, the other manager like kind of pulled us in like, hey, don't think like what you guys do here doesn't go, you know, for granted, because we are, you know, taking care of a lot of other people's jobs, the people that are at the amusement parks and all these different things, or, mm-hmm. you know, Disney streaming and all this other stuff. So that reminded me of that when you said like you mailroom or, you know, work in the parking lot, because like sometimes when you're doing the job, like, man, this job don't really matter that much, right. But it actually do. It helps the company's bottom line. Somebody paying for parking, or you getting this mail to them or whatever. It's like anybody's job. I always tell people, like, you know, sometimes you don't think your job don't matter, but in the grand scheme of things, it does, or they wouldn't have had the opening.
Yeah.
So that's how you got to look at it.
Yeah. There are friends that I've made. There are people who parked with me, who I still know, who at first I was parking lot, and then I became a supervisor of the valet department. And when they had their baby, they brought their baby to our valet booth to take pictures with us. And now the child that, you know, we have pictures from opening day when the parent was pregnant. And now the child's like 10 years old and we're still getting updates. It does matter. Well, you think of the fact that of the reason why a lot of people go to sports or things like that is to get a respite or a respite, depending on how you pronounce it, from their day. Mm-hmm. The world is heavy. And if we can help in any sort of way, we're making the world better. And it seems like, I know sometimes it's trite or whatever, but I really think that matters. The less disgruntled people are, the less likely that they are to be mean and evil or open to the, and so if I can at least turn the tide for one person, I think that's worth its weight in gold.
Nice. Then I definitely like the part where you saw my Tanisha became your, you know, unofficial mentor. Mm-hmm. Cause I tell people that all the time when I'm doing consultation calls or people, like, I hate when people that I don't know just reach out to me and ask me to be their mentor. I was like, we haven't built any type of relationship for me to just become your unofficial mentor.
Right.
But I typically tell people, like, mentorships typically don't happen in most of the professional manner. It's typically something that's like, something just happens, y'all hanging out a lot, and you just become that person's mentee. That's mm-hmm. typically how it happens. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, somebody's not even asking, will you be my mentor? Or the mentor is not saying, will you be my mentee? It's just,
yeah,
they're just checking on you and say, oh, go do this. Or, hey, I seen this role is open. I know this person right here. Yeah. Talking about you apply. It's like stuff like that. That's typically what it is. I've never came out and said, hey, I'm now your mentor.
So I've done both. I like the way Tanisha frames it, it is a relationship. And so I think some people are awkward and they're just like, okay, you're my mentor now. Wait, we haven't, you don't know if we vibe, you know, you don't know if what I have to offer will benefit you. So you should vet it just like how you would anyone with a relationship. So that's the organic part of it of, hey, I want to be like you, you like me, let's talk and figure things out. But I did, once I applied for a job and I didn't get it, I made it pretty far. But like when it came down to the last thing, I didn't get the role. And I reached out to the hiring manager. And I was like, hey, the conversations that we had were pretty impactful to me. And I feel like I learned a lot. And I think I would benefit from you being my mentor if you're amenable to that. And he replied back and said, yeah, no, I am super excited about your trajectory and your career. And I would love to help however I can. So it can work both ways. But
I see in that instance, though. Y'all had some conversations.
Yes, there was still not like something. Yeah.
Like people come to me, hey, will you mentor me? Hey, are you hiring? Do you know who hired from? I was like, I'm not a job search service and I don't know any of these things.
Yeah.
So I was like, please don't send me that. I'll just read the message and go on about my day. Like, if you are going to kind of go that route with me, this is like when we get into the, like some of the LinkedIn stuff, like you need to interact with me on my YouTube or my LinkedIn or something. So I actually kind of know who you are.
Right.
Because there are people. They'll finally send me a message. Hey, I just was in your YouTube comments. I said, no, X, Y, Z. I was like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
At least I kind of know who you are. And it's just not like so left field. Mm-hmm. Tell me, oh, you know, send me an Instagram message request. Hey, yeah, I just was on, you know, the live stream or that was me that made that comment. And then we start talking a little bit and then we'll figure out if it's any type of synergy there. But
have you seen Love and Basketball?
I've seen it. It's not one of my favorites.
That's fine. We won't get into that. I just meant like, so there's a part of it that hurt me a little bit. It's not one of my favorites. I feel like there's subtext there, but I'll let it go. There's a scene though, when they're young and Quincy and Monica have like, they just met the day before they had the basketball game. And then the next day they're about to go to school. He goes, you want to be my girl? And she was like, I mean, what do I have to do? And then he was like, I don't know. And then when you're mad at me, I'll buy you flowers. I think sometimes that's the situation with mentors and mentees too.
Uh-huh.
They say it, but they don't know what it means. It's like, and it is just a relationship. And I think it can mean different things for different people. The time commitment too. And I think people should consider that when you ask anything of anyone, you should know what that ask means. That's just as soon as you said, they'll just be like, you want to be my mentor? That's what I thought of. You want to be my girl?
I definitely might turn that into a post just because you told me about it. I'm going to go find that exact scene. So, like you said, you felt like, well, you said some would see like it as like a step back from going from a management position to a pretty much like an IC position. But sometimes your IC position is up there like from a different organization with that management thing, and you don't have the stress of managing people, but you may be making the same amount or more. So I don't really see stuff like that as a step back. Cause sometimes you got to go through your phase. Oh, cool. I want to manage now. All right. I don't really want to manage more. I just want to do my stuff. I'll be a subject matter expert, but I don't want to be dealing with your progression plan, your one-on-ones when you mess up doing all this. I don't feel like dealing with that right now. I'll go back to managing later at a different point in my life or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely understand that. So in this role here, I know, and I'm trying to do this like kind of like for educational purpose, real quick. I know you said you're an information security analyst.
Oh, that's where I was. I'm a security engineer now.
Okay, security engineer. Okay, got it. Well, can you explain, I guess, what type of security engineer you are? Because I always tell the people too, it's like, they say, oh, I want to be a security analyst. I want to be a security engineer. I was like, okay, oh, well what type? What platform you want to do? Or what do you want to work on? Because I was like, there could be different skills or different niches that will fall into being an analyst or engineer.
Right.
That if you're just searching for cybersecurity analysts and you're trying to find jobs or apply to them,
right,
your skills may not be lining up there because you may be applying for a role that doesn't fit you.
Right. And that's key because even then, the roles, the same title can have a different definition at different organizations. One of the things that Tanisha tells people too is to, when you say you want to do the role, look at the job description and see what it is that they're asking for, because then that'll help guide you too. to see if it's aligned with you, what you want to do. So when I started as an information security analyst with Shellman, it was more so on the compliance side.
Okay, so GRC type stuff. Mm-hmm.
And it was more, client security questionnaires, things along that line. And it was good. I'm glad that I did it, because the same thing of, working different jobs, giving you a foundational knowledge and baseline and understanding what other folks have to do. Especially for the fact that it is a compliance firm, it made sense for me to kind of get my feet wet in that area, more right. focused. But then transitioning to the security engineer side, and that's the other thing too. I think more so, at least in that role, it was more of telling people what they can or can't do. And then moving to the security engineer side was more about the doing, which I liked. And that was the benefit too, from me moving from management role to a individual contributor role. It's not to say that I don't want to manage people. I do care about people, and eventually I'll go back there. And I guess technically I am a COO for Black Girls Hack. But I still thought that I was young enough in my career that I wanted to strengthen those technical skills. And so I was like, why not? No time like the present. I'm footloose and fancy free. I'm going to work as hard and do as much now as I can, because eventually, I wouldn't be opposed to getting married and having children and things of that nature. And then I can afford a little bit more flexibility in that part of my career and time. So for security engineer, we have it. We're on the security operations side, and we're for our company. I know we provide services for other companies as well, but
so you work for the internal part,
right? We're internal of operations. So we have it broken out into different avenues. There's the daily, replying to tickets, the break fix, things of that nature, support from a security side for our systems analysts and things of that nature. Then we have like a vulnerability management and everything like that. And then there's me, threat management and incident response. It might be a toxic trait, but it works well for work, that I like when the pressure is on. I like when there is it doesn't necessarily mean that there's something wrong, but here's a situation. How do you deal with it? Find a solution. I come alive, I tell you. So that's fantastic. But then there's also the, hey, there are some potential things coming. How does this potentially impact you? It's not necessarily your problem now.
Yeah.
It might be an issue down the street, but you're driving, you're getting closer to it. What are you doing to prevent, mitigate, et cetera? I monitor, detect, respond.
Yeah. Nah, trust me. I definitely know, being an IR, and we are constantly working with threat intel, it's the same thing. They are getting the chirps and on the, back web, dark web, and looking at all this stuff and say, hey, these people right here, they attacking folks again. We need to be ready. Mm-hmm. And we dealt with that like a week or two right after that briefing. And we was like head first.
Yep.
And it was all hands on deck. But because we was already aware that it possibly was coming down the pipeline, we responded like very good.
So yeah.
There's definitely like that's the fun part of like all the stuff. Like I'm always laughing because when I'm not doing this type of pod, we are breaking down either like trends like on tech Twitter or security breaches and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then some of the breaches coming up is like, oh yeah, I was kind of already aware of this. We were like looking at this like a couple of weeks ago, and yep. Now it's got to be public. So that part of the job is always pretty cool. But before we get into Black Girls Hack, in your opinion, mm-hmm. being as somebody that's hired people before, now you move back to IC, for people that wanted to like, and I kind of like this question, but I don't, because like when we say cyber, it's so much crap you can go into.
Right.
So we're going to make this easier. We're going to say if they want to go blue team, what type of skills or certifications would you recommend for them?
So, and I didn't even tell you to choose blue team, but it worked out serendipitously for me.
Yeah, once you said threat management and stuff, I said perfect.
Well, Black Girls Hack is currently doing a blue team cohort, and the idea of it is for us to take people from zero to hero. And so if you already have, certifications, you've already, what blue team means, you're a defender, then you can get in where you fit in, and there's support and a track that you can follow. And then for the folks who have no idea what it is, and they're like, blue team, we're talking about Smurfs. you can jump in where you are too, and we guide folks along. So the generic answer that I give people is you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Go where people who have already asked those questions, who have already sought to find those answers, and lock arms with them. And so obviously I'm going to recommend Black Girls Hack because why not? That's the squad. But there are also quite a few other organizations that are doing great work that we partner with. Like I mentioned, Women's Cyber Jitsu, and WISP and things of the like. So do that. Join an organization, especially the ones like us who can, you can join for free. You don't have to pay anything, or the ones that have a nominal fee, and listen and learn. Go to a conference. I know that, you know, there are some that are thousands of dollars. I'm not advocating that you do that if, you know, break the bank for no reason, but there are plenty of community opportunities. Listen to a webinar, go to a webcast. And I think that's the first step, discovery and just listening and observing. And then from those conversations, naturally, I think it'll be like, oh, this interests me more. I'm going to gravitate more to that. And then you can focus. And I don't think you can go wrong with, okay, I'm latching onto this. I think this is a thing, and go. The only way I think that you actually, I'll amend that. You could go wrong if you have limited resources and you're spending all of them going down a path that is of no value or interest to you. But I think at least as an intro thing of listening to conversations, whatever else, then you can hear, is anything firing in these conversations that I'm hearing? Am I getting any kind of positive? It's like speed dating for careers, because then you'll say, okay, now this is more in the line of what interests me. This is what I'm going to pursue. But specifically, if you want to, because I'll go back to your specific question and give a specific answer. If you are interested in becoming a blue teamer, go to blackgirlshack.org on the events page and sign up to join our blue team cohort.
Okay. Now, speaking of Black Girls Hack, let's get into it. About how long has Black Girls Hack been around?
This is going into our fifth year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And are there any decisions to make a black man hack?
So, yes. We refer to it as our BGH multiverse. So there's, in the umbrella, because Black Girls Hack is what started it, and Tanisha was the black girl who was hacking, mm-hmm. put it all together. But under the BGH multiverse is Black Men Hack, My Squad Hacks, and Black Kids Hack, and then We Got Next Cyber. So Black Kids Hack is being formulated. That's for the itty bitties, the young children, you know, capturing their attention and just showing them that STEM is cool. Mm-hmm. Then there's the We Got Next Cyber that currently we have a program that is finishing, if it hasn't yet, with high school students, and 16-week program. By the end, we work them through Security Plus for studying and preparing for that. And we've already had two of our students who are in that program take and pass the Security Plus. So before they graduate high school, they have that Security Plus certification. And for them being in the DMV area, that's fantastic because a lot of the jobs that require that. And then Black Men Hack, our CTO, Chief Technical Officer, Technology Officer, is actually building out our Black Men Hack website as we speak. Okay. And so there'll be more offerings in that regard. But so that's the title, and there'll be focused things, focused programming for it. But I also think it's necessary to say everyone is welcome in Black Girls Hack.
Yeah, I was definitely going to ask you that because I was like, do you think people feel like if they a man, they can't be a part of Black Girls Hack? But I also know the answer to that is no, because one of my clients, what's his name? Antoine. What is his last name? I don't know. He's a fireman. He just finished his master's and stuff like that. But he did some Black Girls Hack stuff too. I saw like the internship or something he did with awesome. You guys. Yeah. So I'm aware of like some of the good stuff that you guys do. Yeah. But I thought that would be like a good question to pose for the audience as well. Sure. As here's another one too that you guys may run into a lot. And I know I run into it a little bit based on my platform. Mm-hmm. I've had people say all the time, like, oh, he only has like black people on there. He don't like want to have anybody else on there, which is not true. Mm-hmm. I've had different people on there. Matter of fact, I have some big non, like, you know, black people coming on the show pretty soon. Mm-hmm. But do you guys run into that? Like, do they think like it's only for black people or nobody else can join?
Yeah. Some people do. And We make a point, especially like in opportunities like this, whenever we're at conferences and things of the like, we'll let people know. I know, you know, sometimes you hear the name Black Girls Hack. You don't have to ascribe to either of those three to join. You don't have to be Black. You don't have to be a girl. You don't even have to hack. But we do have a focus, right? We want, it's both an acknowledgement and kind of a clarion call of, for me, you know, like I told people, like when I was growing up, I wanted to be a lawyer. Why? Because of Claire Huxtable. She was awesome. I wanted to be her. But I saw Claire Huxtable to be like, right? Or I wanted to be like my mom and I wanted to be a nurse. It was going to be one of the two, but it was because I had the exposure and I saw something.
And so the representation.
The representation. Exactly that. So when you hear the name Black Girls Hack, it's to let people know, hey, we are out here. There are Black girls who are hacking, who are hacking the system, hack the world, hack the planet. Hackers reference anyway. So there's that. And it's to let folks know that we are out here and we're doing things, but it's also to let us know. And it's also an affirmation that we can do that. But the other thing that Tanisha tells folks is, as long as you're not a jerk, you can join. That's the only thing. And thankfully, I think people have heard that because we look at the our demographics, the stats breakdown or whatever. And we have folks all across that are in each demographic that attend our trainings and things of that nature, and then also our conference. So I think the message is getting out there, but I understand why people ask the question. And so whenever they do ask us that question, either online, in person, or whatever, we have the patience to respond. And it's like, oh yeah, I understand why you would think that, but no, you're welcome. We're not excluding anyone. We don't want to... The whole point is that we want to increase diversity in cybersecurity. So we want our organization to reflect that as well.
Right. And you actually gave me an idea. Like, you know, it's funny. And you may have watched the show. And I'm the person that like probably have never really watched the episode of. But I've really never seen The Office.
Oh, I've watched it.
But
I cried when Michael left.
when you talk about The Office, and then when I think about any other show, I think about around like hacking, maybe like Mr. Robot. Like Mr. Robot's like the extreme. That's definitely not like how it's going to be if you're working. But I definitely thought about like, if I put a script together with some of my friends, like, and rented out some space, like we probably could make a little series of like, you know, the Blue Team series or whatever series. But I'm only saying it because you just, when you said representatives, like they don't really make the other shows of like, for example, if I was a little kid right now and I had watched all 7-8 seasons of Suits, I probably want to be a lawyer too.
Right.
I want to be like Harvey.
Exactly.
But you don't get to see, okay, hey, you know, this guy right here at the company. Like, prime example, the IT guy on Suits, like, he don't get enough shine, but he really helped them do a lot of stuff
right.
that they don't talk about. And so we do need shows that shows those guys, like, getting their flowers. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Can I be on it? Because you got it from my from something I said.
Yeah.
So let me be on the show.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Matter of fact, look, you know what's funny? 50 Cent bought a studio in my hometown. So I'm like, 50, I'm going to pitch it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all just put us in the show. I'll show you how to do everything. I'll tell you. Matter of fact, Dre can play me. Let Dre play me. I mean, Rotimi can play me.
Look, I'll play myself. But you think about it, like all the TV shows, Arrow, Overwatch, the cool people are the people who were on the computer.
Kim Possible.
I shouldn't have hit that note, but yes, exactly.
Didn't sound bad.
Thank you. But that proves the point, though, of people care about those characters because more often than not, they're their favorite ones. They're the ones solving things, saving the day.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, technically, you got it, but these people were technically like just super geniuses. Dexter, Jimmy Neutron.
Yeah.
Smart guy was too young. Stefan didn't get cool till he changed his name from Steven to Stefan.
Yeah.
So it was always like, but they never try to champion like just being who you were. They always try to make it look a certain way by having them being picked on. But like half and half in real life, like a lot of times people are not going to really like mess with them people. They're like honest kids or whatnot.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother, that might be a, like a live stream topic.
But too. Leverage, age the geek, baby. Like, I mean, anyway, yeah, I'm down for that.
But so, and I was looking at you, I was like, dang, I'm really mad I don't have one, because that would have been dope if we both could have a SquadCon shirt.
Poor planning. I should have brought you one.
But no, and so you are here promoting SquadCon. Could you tell them what SquadCon is about?
Okay, sure. SquadCon is a cybersecurity conference that provides the opportunity for folks to learn, to network, at an affordable price. Right now, I think our general ticket is 125
definitely cheaper.
But yeah, considering the fact that I have gone to conferences where it's thousands of dollars to attend. Thankfully, I do take advantage of, if there's a scholarship, I apply for that thing. If there's a partnership with work, I do that as well.
Company card, me.
Listen. And I also like the fact that that conferences provide that justification too. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel, leverage what's already available. But to focus on SquadCon, we started back in 2022, we were a village at DEF CON, Girls Hack Village. And, sometimes I say, you know, it went better than we expected, but it didn't, because our founder had such a great vision and we believe in her. We believe in the vision. And, someone said, what does success look like? And it's like, when what you see on the outside reflects what you see on the inside. And so by all means, that was a success. Packed house, so many people showed up, and the space was small. We were larger than the space that we had, which is good. Don't something small beginnings. I can't remember the part of that, but anyway. And so then the next year we were like, hey, this year we're going to strike out on our own, same time frame, benefit from the folks who are already going to be in the area for Hacker Summer Camp. And for those who aren't familiar with Hacker Summer Camp, it's a time in August where there are multiple conferences, starting with B-Sides Las Vegas, Black Hat, DEF CON, and then some of the new kids on the block, Diana Initiative, and now SquadCon. And so we're all in that between August 3rd and the 11th. That's what they refer to as Hacker Summer Camp, because all of us cool kids get to go down there and talk about things that matter to us in the cybersecurity realm. So SquadCon is the 6th through the 8th of August. The 6th is a welcome reception game night. It's just going to be chill of, hey, everyone, let's just kind of get to know each other, be amped to have a great time. And then the 7th and the 8th, we're going to have some awesome keynote speakers. We just confirmed one of our second ones, or we're about to announce it. But some pretty big name folks who are doing awesome things. And then we'll have our call for papers are open as well. So we have different folks who are going to present on various topics from OSINT to IoT and AI, and some blue team topics as well, because that's near and dear to my heart. And then also we'll have opportunities for people to have resume reviews, mock interviews. We'll have some tables from our vendors for folks to get to meet different folks who are hiring or just in the space, and to broaden their opportunity. And it's just going to be a good time. We're going to have a party the evening of Wednesday. So for those, it'll be a balance of the extroverted folks who just want to network and get to know everyone, mm-hmm. and hobnob. You'll have an opportunity to do that. The introverted folks who would just want to learn and see what this cybersecurity thing is about, what the potential opportunities are, you'll have an opportunity for that. And for those who are already in the field but have felt othered in your position, because they say this is a male-dominated field, whatever, and you feel like the token where you are, come where you can be around other people who are like-minded, who support you, and be rejuvenated.
Dope. So I know you said it's around Hacker Summer Camp, and that's in August, but what are those dates?
SquadCon is August 6th through the 8th. The main conference dates are the 7th and the 8th. So if you're budgeting and you're like, look, I can only do 2 days instead of three, make sure you're there for the 7th and the 8th. But if you want the whole kit and caboodle, get there for, I would say even get there for the 5th. So you can do the Diana Initiative and SquadCon, so you can get both conferences in.
Yeah, too bad it's not. I don't think he got his residency going on anymore. Usher.
I went last time.
When I went to SplunkConf, I came early to see Usher.
Yeah, it was good.
And the funny thing was that day, missed my flight, mm-hmm. and I had to wait around. And luckily, somebody canceled, and I got the flight. Got to Vegas Airport. Got to my hotel. Had to change everything within like. I didn't have to change that long, because they didn't start right when I got there. They had like all the little open and stuff. But I was like, that was definitely like one of the, probably the best thing I've probably seen ever.
Yeah. So you want to hear my Usher story since you brought it up? Okay. So a friend of mine got tickets for me. So they got it for free, whatever. I didn't have to pay for it. I got tickets. It was nice. Well, the friend got it and then they gave it to me. But the seat that I got was on the aisle. And it was like maybe like halfway up in that little middle section.
Right.
And then I don't know what part of the show was, halftime, whatever else. He comes up the aisle on the opposite side of me, walks up the aisle, gets on the little stage and starts dancing and is singing and doing whatever else. Then he starts turning down this way, coming down where I'm sitting and or standing, because I'm not sitting at an Usher concert. And he walks by, stops directly in front of me, makes eye contact, sings to me. I touched his arm. I yelped maybe. And then he kept going. So now I get to say that Usher sang to me. This was before he got married. So
yeah, it was, that's everybody was like, they were sitting like down there or whatever. And, what, were there any stars there when you went?
Yes. So I actually ended up going two times. I went there the time when, her was there.
Okay.
Mary J. Blige. And then the other day, LaToya Luckett. And Lil Dicky.
Okay.
Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Him. But yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah. When I went, Quavo was there with, this chick, I forgot her name. And then I want to say the young boy from Stranger Things, Caleb, he was there too. There might be some other people there, and honest, that I didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like I said, it was a good time. Yeah. It was, I was making jokes. I was like, listen, we know all these black folks dressed up and they nice stuff. Like, you going to church or something, we know everybody going to the same place.
Right.
Man, it was so hard getting an Uber from there.
Mm-hmm. I walked.
I did too.
Yeah.
I was staying in, at that time, I was staying in Planet Hollywood for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Splunk Cup came around, that's when I went to the Venetian.
So. Yeah. See, benefit of going to conferences. You're just in and around these areas and some things happen. I wouldn't have gotten that ticket if I didn't happen to be there.
Yeah.
So be in the right place at the right time.
I definitely agree with that. And while you were talking, I was thinking about something else. And I'll probably cut this part out just because it's a pause. But I know, but I'm on it. So I do know, like, what I would like to do is at least sponsor, like, a ticket to SquadCon. So I definitely would love to do that. So that's probably something – it's probably something I'll end up putting out soon on one of the videos. So say, hey, guys, look, I'm sponsoring somebody to go to SquadCon. I'm on LinkedIn and, like, sign up right here while you want to go and yada, yeah. Yada, yada. And then, you know, I put them in a little wheel and then let it do that. So
big bet. Heck yeah. Success. I mean, it was already a success being able to sit on this couch and converse with you, but huzzah.
No, I mean, I think more of those, like, cause see your, I like if I won't be like working around the time anyway. So I'll be like on leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Maybe it's just my headphones that, it's probably going out, not the mic, but the reason why is because you guys have something of value. And it's also, guys, listen, and this is something we can actually go into too. I'll segue into it. If you do want to go to SquadCon and you have a company that possibly pays for conferences or and travel, ask them about it. And especially if you're in security or you're trying to get in security, because most of the times when you want to go to a conference, a company's going to ask you for a justification. Mm-hmm. And what will you learn there? And this is a great justification of what you would learn there. So that's what you should do if you want to try to go there for free.
Yep.
You can put everything on the company card, live your best life, go shopping. You do whatever you want to do while you're in Vegas.
Yep. And come back with the things that you learned. Like, I've done that too, where I'll say, okay, this is pertinent to what I'm doing. Or this, we haven't done this at work yet, but I can see where we could. And so you come back and say, hey, here are some of the things that are reactive responses. I've seen XYZ, and here's some potential solutions. But then here are some proactive things. I heard that they were talking about this.
Yeah.
And now I think we should talk about this too. And go to some of those things that you have no idea. Like, I went a couple years ago to FuzzCon. I had no idea what fuzzing was or anything like that, but I was part of the conversation. And then no less than like a month later, I was in a room where the conversation came up and I could speak to it. You don't have to be an expert right away, but then at least you're not lost, you know? And so anyway, flip it, you know, like finesse anything that you have that you're learning, that you're trying to get, put it back into manager speak or whatever and say, this is how me doing this is going to be an asset to the organization. I recently worked with the head of a ERG, and I put together a whole plan for him. And I said, here you go. present this for your company to send the whole membership of your ERG for that support. One, for the folks in general, it's a resource group. Here are resources at a conference. But then also, two, the things that they learn and glean and gain, they could then come back and be a more energized and productive employee.
Yeah, no. That's what I had to do when I went to Splunk Conflux. Mm-hmm. I had my OneNote open, so I was taking notes. I was like, well, yeah, they was using this tool, mm-hmm. we can do this or that. Because if anybody know, like I know, that's an expensive conference. Granted, they yeah. still a partner of them, so they had to pay for the ticketing thing. But that room, after they upgraded my room free of charge, and I was eating good like almost every day on the card. But they're going to want to know, hey, what did you learn? Or were you right. just down there having fun? So yeah. I definitely had a meeting with like everybody, and we talked about the stuff I learned. So that was cool. And then another question I was going to ask you, like, I have all different type of people that watch my channel. Mm-hmm. What if they wanted to submit to speak at SquadCon?
So CFP is currently open. So you can go to SquadCon.me, and there's a link there. If for whatever reason you're having technical difficulties, feel free to email us at info@blackgirlshack.org, and that'll work for a submission as well. Just send the name of your talk and abstract to kind of give us an idea as to what you want to speak on. And we're going to close that here in a little bit. I think we'll probably give it till at least the 15th. So there's still time. Get that in there, and we'll make those selections here in a little bit.
Bet.
And then also I'll say, if for whatever reason we're at capacity or not selected to speak, we still might, because we have a thing we call Bring a Hacker to Work Day, where we give people an hour or so, and it's a day in the life, and people get to talk about what their position is. So we might engage whoever submitted a talk that wasn't selected for that, or for a lunch and learn or whatever. So don't think, hey, it's if you see this after the 15th and you're like, oh crap, I missed the window, still email us, because we're a nonprofit. We'll find a way to plug you in and make sure that your voice is heard and that our members get to benefit from what you have to say.
Cool. Yeah, I'll show you who I actually have in mind. One of my guests, he is a red teamer. Mm-hmm. He was on the show twice. I think he'd love to talk about that type of stuff.
Okay.
He'd be on Twitter all the time talking about he'd been fuzzing on his computer all day. So
yeah,
he loved that stuff. And it's a couple of people. So hopefully maybe one of them could maybe submit a talk if they got time, if they're not already booked up. So
yeah,
that'd be cool.
I do.
Now, it's been cool hearing about all the different things that Black Girls Hack does, especially with the stuff you said with the teenagers. Mm-hmm. I recently got a chance to partner with Nucor. They're based out of Chicago. They're a nonprofit, and they're doing a kind of same thing of like, introducing teenagers to like different things of tech. And so for my day, it was like talking about cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. And I know that I think I was telling me you might have to link up again. I want to probably either do this, and even though I'm not from Dallas, but I would love to just talk to some youth in Dallas as mm-hmm. well as like do it back home. And it's like, yeah, I think we got a school that we're going to go speak to
yeah.
in Dallas. But that's pretty cool. I think that exposure early on is perfect, because I tell everybody, I was almost a senior in college before I really found out about cybersecurity. Right. Took a forensics class, looked up and took that, and then got the SEC Plus in like July 2013. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when cybersecurity started. Like, I know what I want to do.
Yeah.
But if I could have known that from being a freshman, I would have been way past where I am now.
Right.
And so that's the whole goal for me, is like trying to get you to be, and I have mentees that's pretty much exceeded me. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal. Like right. for me, it's not like, oh no, nah, cause I'm right here. You gotta, nah. Mm-hmm. I tell everybody, if I feel like my mentee skills better than mine, cause they got more time to do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I say, hey, go hit them up. They're a rock star.
Right.
And you know, they're out there killing it.
Yeah. You still get the credit for it too. And another office thing, he goes, was I the person who moved 10,000 people? No. But I'm the person who moved the one person who moved the 10,000 people or something like that. And so it still counts. It's still, you know, a ripple effect from the pebble that you throw.
I agree. Is there anything that you want to leave the listeners with today?
Yes, I would say don't get in your own way. One of the things that Tanisha says regularly, and I mention Tanisha a lot because she is our founder of Black Girls Hack and also a good friend of mine and a generally awesome human being. She always tells us to shoot all shots. And sometimes I know, you know, even in personal conversation, she has to tell me too, that so oftentimes we're the first person to tell ourselves no, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're like, oh, I think maybe, and then you get in your own way. Don't do that. get out of your own way and try, because the worst that can happen is that it doesn't work out. Well, if you don't do anything, it definitely won't. The odds are completely against you. But if you at least try, you've already increased your odds by trying. So shoot all shots, get out of your own way. It's not too late to start. If cybersecurity sounds interesting to you, but you're intimidated, you're daunted, reach out. Join Black Girls Hack. Like I said, it's free to join. So it won't, you know, worst case scenario, you meet some awesome people and you don't get started in the career, but at least you'll learn something new and you'll meet some awesome people. And get some support. It's not a weakness to do things with folks. It's actually wisdom. While everybody wants to be a superhero, heroism isn't scalable. So as many good supporting people that you can have around you, the best, the better. Black Girls Hack is awesome. So join us, support us, follow, like LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. If you say X, it's still out there. So join us. Follow me on LinkedIn if you want. I don't mind being an informal mentor because time is limited. But if there's like a question that I can answer, I'm happy to do so. Come to SquadCon. August 6th through the 8th in Las Vegas. And I mean, I don't want to steal from Tabitha Brown, but really, have yourself a great day. And why would you go around messing somebody else's up? So that's about it.
Great, man. Guys, this has been another episode of the Textual Talk. And, you know, I always say, you know, stay textual, peace. But I really just want to like leave y'all guys with this. We've been talking about the job search like the whole past couple of weeks. I just want to let you guys know. It gets better. Apply to that job anyway. The worst thing they can say is no. The best thing they can say is yes. And as Glorilla said, at the end of the day got to end.
Got to end.
And we'll be back next time. We out. Peace.